Hey, this is Erin.
I'm Melissa.
And we're Trending Spokane, a weekly podcast all about the latest in the Lilac City.
Finding out what is happening right now in Spokane can be overwhelming, but not if you're an insider.
Join us as we shine light onto the latest happenings and chat about the future of our city.
Each episode will introduce you to people you want to know, places you need to visit, and local knowledge you can't live without.
We will help you get out and get involved.
Episodes are dropping soon, and make sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts now.
Don't forget to put inspiration and entertainment on your calendar. Get season tickets now to STCU's Best of Broadway. You can have first access to popular touring productions with live music and top talent, special offers from nearby restaurants, and so much more. West Coast Entertainment is a locally operated independent presenter of national touring Broadway productions, concerts, and other special events. Don't miss a single show-stopping moment. Learn more about their upcoming season by checking out BroadwaySpokane.com.
Latrice Williams was born and raised in Spokane, Washington, and she has carved out a remarkable success story right here in her hometown. Her work in customer service cultivated a passion for the underprivileged, making it her priority to see that people are treated equally. In her first year of being a real estate agent, she sold 44 homes, which is like mind-blowing. It's almost a home a week. Earning the title of Keller Williams Rookie of the Year for 2018-2019, and she was recently named the 2022 Rising Star by the Spokane Journal of Business. Since then, she has continued to blaze a trail of success for both her business and her clients.
This multi-talented woman has even more gifts to share with the community and believes in the healing power of singing. She's a phenomenally talented singer who grew up performing in the Mount Olive Baptist Church Children's Choir. She's been featured in and organized performances throughout the city, including jazz festivals, the NAACP Gala, and more, entertaining thousands of audience members with her rich, soulful lyricism. Welcome to the podcast, Latrice.
Wow, that was big. Thank you.
You're welcome. Just the truth.
Yeah, thank you.
You have done so much stuff in the community, too. So could you tell us what got you started in real estate? We obviously heard about your background in singing. So yeah. What made you want to get started in real estate?
Okay, so here's the thing, y'all. So I'm a very spiritual person. And I have to tell you that what drove me to real estate was God. I heard specifically I had this unction in me that was like, I want you to go into housing or real estate. And I was like, no, who's going to pay for my purses and my hair? Hello. So I really pushed back for a while for the first like 6 to 9 months. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm going to get my real estate license, but I'm going to keep my job because I like my job. Yeah, $2,400 a month. How could I do better? Like, this is great. And coming from where I was from, where I had just been, which is probably for a different podcast, but let's just say I was used to making a whole lot less. So, yeah. In May, I decided to buckle down and get my real estate license. And to be honest with you, I have to say that I was a little nervous because when you start asking around about, you know, real estate and you know what people know about real estate, they're like, oh, you better have a big savings, it's 6 months worth of your rent payments, and you got to have a whole bucket of, you know, savings of cash. And I was like, well, I don't want that because I'm living paycheck to paycheck, so this ain't gonna work for me. And so that was the first fear, was like, look, I'm finally comfortable. Don't put me in. I don't want to be anything that has to do with uncomfortability. And then I decided, obviously, to go ahead and buckle down and get my license. I got my license, and I always tell the story, but it's the best story because it just makes the most sense, right? So I go in for my first training on the team that I was at. And I'm sitting next to my guy, big old Samoan Tongan. Oh, I might say the wrong thing, but he's from the island, right? Big guy. And then this other guy that I was sitting next to, he's like Rico Suave, you know, and I'm listening to them and I'm like, okay, so they sound kind of cool talking to their clients. And I'm looking at the spreadsheet that's telling how much money they're making. And I was like, okay, so is this how much the house was, or is this how much you're bringing in? Like, what do you? He's like, no. Oh, I'm bringing $30,000 this month. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and quit my job. You know, I'm gonna quit. So I went in, I put in my 2-week notice at my job at that moment, because I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. So for the next 2 weeks, I was like, little black girl, big from the islands, Rico Suave, all in one. And I was basically just, it was so funny to hear me talk, but it was working. In the first 2 weeks, I had my first deal under contract, and I just never stopped from there. And I feel like that's how you know the difference between, I want to be careful about saying it, but I feel like when you know that you're following in the right steps, that's when it really starts working for you, right? Like, you know that things are falling into place, and it really just fell into place. A few months later, I was in leadership, and they were like, we need you to teach people how you're doing. I'm like, I don't know how I'm doing it. I'm just doing what you told me to do. I guess if they just show up to work, then maybe they'll do it, you know? And so, I mean, that was my training. I guess the way that I would train, right? So I did that, and then I was like, well, I made you enough money. Let me go make my own money now. So that's when I became an independent agent. And now I think that my main focus, so you can make a lot of money in real estate, right? It can be a very lucrative business for you to have. And I think right now the reason why I press so hard to get other people involved in real estate is because of that very reason. It's one thing to tell them, yes, go to college and, you know, be a doctor, be a lawyer, and, you know, oh, go to nursing school and stay up all night, work 14-hour days, right? But then we don't tell them, we're not showing them how to have generational wealth. And you don't necessarily have to have a real estate license to do that. But I want to show you a different way. If they're making you spend all that money, you're in hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt for that, let me show you a different way. So that's why I'm so passionate about that. I'm also passionate about it because some folks that are have made maybe some not so great decisions, right? People, we all do things that end us up in a place where we're like, dang, why'd I do that, right? So I think that when we're out there filling out our job applications, we're getting denied because maybe some history that you have, we're getting denied for rental applications, and this leads to people to homelessness. Guess what? Unless it's about income, ain't nobody denying you just because of what you did in your past to buy a home. And so it's almost like it's a way out. It gives people a way out. It's like, listen, if you desire to be in that neighborhood, nobody can tell you no. For the most part, there are some things it's like, I don't think so. But for the most part, nobody can tell you no. And that's really important to me. So I gravitate. I don't know if you guys have ever heard like find your niche or find your, okay, you've heard of that. Okay. So at the beginning, I was just like focused on people who are first time homebuyers because not everybody knows that you could buy a house, right? So I came in the market at a really good time, 2018. Interest rates were all right. You know what I mean? There was this program, down payment assistance program, where you did not have to pay anything out of pocket. What? I'm like, wait a minute. So they can buy a house and they don't have to have no money? So I'm real good at telling people where they can find a sale at, you know, because if I get some hair and I find it and it's on sale and it's a good grade, I'm real good at that. And so I was like, wait, if they don't have to pay anything down, I'm taking everybody with me. Everybody's buying a house. Why not? Why would we not take advantage of that, right? And I think there was enough people that were talking about like social justice and that type of ordeal that it was that time, right? Mm-hmm. So it was almost like I felt like Harriet Tubman, like I'm going back to get everybody. Really, that's like one of my favorite movies at this point right now. The new Harriet is like one of my favorite movies because there's a little in that scene towards the end, she's like saved a bunch of people. She's gone back and she's getting like groups of people now, right? Not just going back and she's pissed because her husband, you know, got with that. You know. She's like, okay, well, I'm going to take everybody now. Forget you because now I'm on another mission. But they go to this, they're meeting with those abolitionists or whatever. I'm not even sure if that's the right word, but they meet with them and they're like, oh, no, you can't go back. It's getting too dangerous. We got to settle here. Ba-da-da-da. And she's listening to him. And then she's like, uh-uh. See, some of y'all been free too long. Matter of fact, some of y'all was born free. So you don't know what it's like to not be able to have. You don't know what it's like to be bound. There are still people out there. And I'm not going to stop just because it becomes dangerous. It's been dangerous. You wasn't out there getting them. I was. And I mean, she quiets the whole room and I'm literally sitting there crying like I'm about to do right now. Like, I cannot leave anybody behind. It's just, I can't. Yeah, if I can do it, and one day bring me back on, we'll talk about my past. I ain't going all that right now. We're not going that deep. But I think if I can do it, anybody can do it. They let me do it. They let me in the door. I'm holding it open. Now I'm holding it open. So it's like, come on. You know, let's all go. So anyway, I think that was a very long answer to your question. Sorry, but that's what got me into real estate, and that's what keeps me in real estate because the laws are ever changing, right? So now I'm involved in the housing and homeless advocacy legislative lead for District 4, and I work with District 6 too because that's Spokane Valley and Spokane. And now I just got it added on to the Washington Association of Realtors Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion team. Why this is so important is obviously diversity, equity, and inclusion. We all know why that's important, but why it's important for me to be on both sides, because typically you see, you think, when you think of real estate, and just be honest, when you think of realtors, you think of, oh, they're trying to scam me, or they're out there, you know. It's almost like you think of realtors like tax people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little intimidating.
Yeah. I'm doing my taxes right now, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry to my CPA right now if you're watching this, or if he's going to watch this at some point. But we don't typically have the best connotation, right? People are like, they're trying to get me. But really, I'm in a really good position right now because I've been there. I've been like homeless. I've been there, right? I've been incarcerated. I've been to these places, right? And then I'm also here. Ah, so I get to meet you halfway where you are, right? And I get to explain to them why here is so important and we can't leave people behind. And so I feel really happy about being in that position right now. Just because of being able to speak with the legislators and really being able to share, to share what people are really feeling and how can we really help people, right? It's not enough to say, oh yeah, we're gonna give you a down payment. Well, if we give you a down payment, if I give you $10,000, and you're not even used to having 10,
right?
Right.
Yes.
We can give down payments to anybody. But if I can't teach you how to retain what I've given you, then we have done a disservice, right? So what we need to do is we need to pour out education to people and show them why it's important to have generational wealth, why it's important to, you know, come into safe places, right? Why is it important for you to build credit? I mean, that's a big deal, right? We can't just be going around here just, we could, I guess, but it's not sustainable. That's not a sustainable society, right? So I'm just happy to be in a position where people actually listen to me now.
Yes, we do. And it's so important. You're right. And so many people have no idea that the small choices that they're making every day are really negatively impacting their life as a whole. And the education piece that you're speaking about is so vital. And you know firsthand how transformational homeownership is for people's lives.
Yep.
So with that in mind, of course, you're focusing on individuals who previously struggled to buy a first home, but you're also wanting to help people who are unaware of how that can create generational wealth. What would be your first piece of advice to someone who's renting right now and is looking at the housing market and a little bit nervous? What do you think would be their first steps toward securing a home of their own, and how will that benefit them?
Okay, so you know I have a program. I'm just going to throw it out there right now. I have a program. It's called Account Me In. We'll talk about more of that, about that later. I just want to throw that out there because you have to have somebody to help you follow through. Mm. I really thought you were going to say, how do you show people that own a home right now what to do with it? But okay, so we're going to go to the renters. Where would be their first start? First of all, you need to figure out what you want to do. What do you want to do? You want to build into your legacy, or you want to build into somebody else's? Because that's what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. You're building into somebody else's legacy, right? You're paying somebody else. Now, some people say, well, I don't want to have to fix things, and I don't want to have to do this, and I don't want to have to do that. let's say the minimum happens. Let's say your toilet goes out. Oh, your plumbing gets clogged up. I really have to break it through. This is the part of my courses that I teach you guys. Y'all getting a little nugget today. You know I really love you if I'm giving you these nuggets for free now. No, no, I'm joking. But if you think about it, let's just do simple math just for the sake of me because it ain't got nothing to do with y'all. It's for the sake of me, right? Let's say you're paying $1,000 a month. 12 times 1,000. Let's do the 12,000. Let's say 12,000. And you're going to do, I just did this with my daughter. So funny. She's like, Mom, I'm not renting an apartment. I'm going to stay here forever. But she's 16. And I was like, she's like, so do you think I should save up to buy a house? Well, you're going to pay, and this is, and we even did hers on a $500 one, but just for where we're at right now, $1,000 a month is what you're paying for rent. You're paying out $12,000. 5 times 12, I mean, help me do the math. I don't know, 68,000 or something like that. Is it 60,000, something like that? Okay, so we're somewhere in that area. Don't judge me if I'm wrong, you guys. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. You think you're going to have $60,000 worth of fixes in 5 years? You done bought a fixer-upper. If that's the case, if we can get you somewhere, you probably wasn't ready for that. The reason why it's so important for you to check out and look and see where you're really at. What are you really paying? Because if you're paying that $12,000 when you own a home, you get to pull that back out as equity. Mm-hmm. And then we have a different conversation on not just letting your equity sit there, but how do you make your equity work for you, right? So I bought my first house. Then I took the equity from that house and bought my duplex, 8-bedroom, 4-bath. And then I took equity, the rest of the equity out of that. And I said, you know what? My kids deserve a little better than this. And I bought another house, right? Yeah. You got to make it work for you. Because if you own a home, and now I'm going into where I was going before. If you own a home and it's just sitting there, right? I know a lot of people that's like, I've been in the same house for 20 years. Do you know how much friction has happened since then? Do you know how much equity that you're probably sitting on? And I don't plan on going. I was just talking to somebody the other day. Oh, yeah, I've been in my house for 20 years, and I don't plan on going anywhere. But, okay, so what you going to do with that equity then? Because you can stay there. If you love the house, great, stay there. But you owning a house and letting it sit there is not helping your children's children.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to move it. You got to move it. Make it work for you. That's what I got to say to that one.
That you have just so much wisdom packed up from all of the hard work that you've done in researching for how people can best utilize their equity and their homes. And when you say generational wealth, sometimes people don't understand that term. So if you were to talk to your own kids mm-hmm. about what generational wealth means mm-hmm. and why it's important, what yep. would you say?
Okay. Thank you for doing that, because sometimes we do use terminology that other people may not understand, right? And by all means, I probably didn't understand it either. Here's generational wealth. I want to benefit, first of all, me, right? My family now, and then my children, and then their children, and then their children, right? We want to make sure that whatever we, and sometimes it's not in the, well, that's kind of the same thing, actually. So let me say this. Let's put it to you bought up maybe even a store or something and it gets passed down, right? And then your children get to utilize that and income from that or the equity from that or whatnot. It's the same thing, right? Generational wealth is how you can pass it down. And you're honestly, it's so funny because if you think about it, like years ago, we're talking like 100, let's say 150 years ago, your generational wealth was your name. Mm-hmm. That was your name. Mm-hmm. So when you hear Latrice Williams in 50 years, that it holds impact, right? And so not even just that, but that's a whole nother conversation. It's like, how do you really want people to remember you? Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about the wealth, the actual tangible wealth that somebody can accumulate or, you know, benefit from, we're talking about how we can take what we've built, what we've actually, the seed that we've planted and it affect. Because sometimes you plant a seed, we already know. Sometimes it takes a minute for that seed to grow and cultivate and be nurtured and then be harvested, right? So we could be skipping generations, but you better believe the seed will come to fruition. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Mm.
Yeah.
It's also a safety thing too, right? Like, yeah. if you buy a house and then let's say your great grandson one day needs a place to stay, it's yeah. paid off. You know, it's a place where they can go for safety.
Yes.
Let alone rent it out or do whatever they want to yes. do with it too. So generational wealth is not just wealth, but it's safety, which is, I guess, yeah. another form of wealth too.
Mm-hmm. So. It beautiful. Is something that you can fall back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about the program that you had started to tell us about earlier? I will. So you it's called will. Account Me In?
It's called Account Me In. So I am also a student support mentor. I want to go quick because I don't want to miss none of this. I know I only got a little bit of time. So I'm a student support mentor at District 81. I'm employed there, right? So I work with Tier 3 students. And that would be like the juvenile involved, probation involved, excessive behavioral issues. So they said, okay, since you have that kind of background, since you were them, we want you to work with them. And so now I work with them. And I was like, they need a little bit more than just some times, right? So now we have an accountability program that I was actually received a grant from OSPI to fund. And so every day, they get a daily check-in from me. 5 o'clock in the morning, they know Miss Latrice. I'm getting ready to change the names of the program to Auntie because that's what they call me. And really, it is. It's call Auntie Latrice before you call the police because I'm going to do... Look, the look in my eyes, I'm going to do more than what they going to do, right? So they know. And what it is, real quick, it's just them talking about goal setting. And this is daily. Because what happens is you have people that have been struggling with doing the right thing, right? And they already are feeling hindered just by that, right? Just from the guilt of that or that condemnation or whatever, right? So let's just take it one step at a time. I don't want to talk about what's happening 5 years from now. I don't want to talk about what's happened for a year from now. Matter of fact, Miss Latrice, I don't even know where I'm going to sleep at tonight. Mm-hmm. What's the goal for today? That's all I want to know. I want 3 strong goals for today. And then I want you to tell me what you're grateful for. I don't want to hear all this. Oh, man, I got a D on my test. And I was late. And they marked me absent. And I'm just going to walk around. I don't want to hear that. What are you grateful for? Tell me, you know how hard it is for people to say what they're grateful for? Mm-hmm. It is so difficult. And it can go both ways. It might be that people just, you know, some people just can't find the good in themselves, but they can find the good in somebody else really easily, right? And then the other piece to it is the affirmations. Especially for our young women. I do have young men, a couple young men, but mostly young women. We got to be clear about who we are. And sometimes that means fake it till you make it, baby.
Yes.
Sometimes if you feel weak, say, I am strong. Mm. You know, if I'm ugly, I am beautiful. At some point, you're going to say it enough to where you believe it. So that's the accountability program.
You know, as a former teacher, you're speaking right to my soul because yay. I taught in Title I schools for my entire career, and I loved the challenge mm-hmm. of kids who felt like they weren't worthy yep. or they came to school and had nothing good to say about themselves. Every morning we had affirmations that we said, and every day if they were struggling or they made a choice that was questionable, I'd have them sit down and just write out one goal for the next 10 minutes that they yeah. wanted to do that was kind to someone else. You know, so the work that you're doing both in the professional sector and that interpersonal relationship that you have with youth yeah. is so powerful and just like moves me to tears. You know, I have that pull to be back with kids all the time because it's you learn so much about yourself through that process mm-hmm. too. But
can I say one more thing about that?
Sorry, do.
One more thing. Just so you all know, now it's crazy thing. I went over to Olympia legislative session. National Association of Realtors comes there and they're like, hey, we have a mentor program that we're starting. I'm like, I'm already doing this. Are you serious? So we can actually, they're like, and we have money. We have mm-hmm. money. So now my students, why would I not teach them real estate? Mm. Why would I not? So now that I own my own brokerage, Vision Properties, let's not forget, like I forgot to shout myself out. So now that we have Vision Properties, all of these students that want to partake, I will be teaching them the steps that they need to be able to become a realtor or something in the real estate industry, contractors, transaction management, whatever, you name it. So I just wanted to put that out there too. It's not a dead end. It's really preparing them for success. And we're being backed nationally. Mm. That's crazy, right? What?
The Spokane Club is more than just an athletic facility. It is the club for your whole life. For over a century, Spokane Club has been committed to providing its members with the finest venue in which to work, gather, and play. Spokane Club membership gives you access to world-class amenities and services all in one place. Their innovative sports and fitness facilities, dining at their award-winning restaurant, priority status for use of catering services, meeting rooms, and banquet facilities, even private hotel accommodations and access to other private clubs around the world through their reciprocal clubs program. Learn more and see all of the incredible programming they offer at SpokaneClub.com.
Come on now.
You know where it's supposed to be.
Yes.
That's incredible. And okay. Vision Properties is growing exponentially.
Yeah.
You are creating the opportunity for people to be employed and to learn from your skill set. So where can people reach out and find you and get connected?
Oh, you can call me 509-431-0773. Please call me. Or you can Facebook. I'm really active on Facebook. Facebook's really my jam. My kids are teaching me Instagram right now, so please be patient with me. They say as a musician, Instagram is the place to be, so I really need to get more active on there. You can catch me, the Latrice Experience. So you can, that's another Facebook page, Latrice Experience. The difference when I'm out there, is it okay to talk about the single?
Oh, please. Right now? Okay, yes. Yeah. That was one of the things we wanted to touch on, too, because real estate is such a huge part of your life, mm-hmm. but so is music.
Music is my passion.
Yeah.
I'm so passionate tell us. About real estate, too, but I'm really passionate about music. But what I do, I don't consider myself just a singer because I can get up and sing you a couple tunes, you know, and I like singing, don't get me wrong, but there's such a passion in being able to portray myself through the music and to portray the idea of what's happening in the song, right? So most of the time when I perform, I like to put a skit with it because it enables people to understand exactly what's really going on or why am I singing the song like that? Why is she crying when she's singing? Or why is she lean back like that? And why is she, you know, if they see like a skit or maybe hear me speak before. And so that's the power in the music for me is not just, yes, God has given me a gift. Yes, you know, I come with the anointing. And yes, but it's all wrapped in one. And that is what really, truly, I feel like should inspire people. Hopefully it does. You know, that's the goal, to inspire folks to just want to do better and be better. But yeah, the Latrice Experience, you can find upcoming shows there. I'm going to be at Eastern. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to be at Gonzaga February 23rd. I'm going to be at Eastern August 17th. We're going to be down at the Bing later this year. So it's going to be some fun stuff.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Your performance at the NAACP, your Billie Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. We ran into each other in the elevator. I'm sure you don't remember that.
My gosh, yes.
Yeah. You just... even before you walked downstairs, you were in character, like your outfit was on point. It was such a powerful experience from beginning to end with that skit you did. So I'm telling you, if you have not had a chance to see Latrice sing live, there is no, you know, Facebook or Instagram video that could ever do it justice. Yeah. Like, I get chills just thinking about it. So,
can I say one thing about that? I
know. Please do.
So just so everybody knows, if you saw that, go back and watch it if you haven't seen it. But I don't know if you all watched Till. Did you see that movie? Okay. So when Kianta asked me to come to the gala and kind of the idea that the song she asked me, she said who she wanted me to be. And I'm like, okay, so I got to get into character. And I began to watch my movies and just get into real character. Because I believe that I'm, like, when I'm up there, I'm a completely different person. Like, I'm not coming up there as Latrice. Like, whatever we are portraying at that moment, that's who I am. And I watched Till and I said, hey, I called. I said, listen, can I get a casket? Can I get a casket? Like, I really need to tell this story. And it was like, I get to sing Billie Holiday, which is, come on, you know, and then watching her movie even and doing my study on her being banned from singing that song. Mm. So it was hands down. It has to be that song. And I have to have a casket because we need to basically tell, I'm blanking her name right now. His Emmett Till's mom. Gosh, I can't remember her name. But anyways, so I need to tell her story basically because she was also silent. So she was silent. Billie Holiday was silent. It's 2023, baby. Ain't nobody silencing me. Mm. Well, it was 2022 at the time. You know, nobody silencing me. I'm getting up here and I'm doing it. And it was so crazy because after I got done singing that song, I've never been to an event, and this is not tooting my horn. This is, I'm just telling you how it normally goes. And people respectfully clap. After I got done singing the song, there was nothing. It was completely silent. There was nobody moving a plate. There was nothing. And I was shaking. I had already been crying because of the song. And nobody was doing anything. And so I was like stepped back from the microphone like, maybe they think I'm still going. And I put my head down and it was like, Chah! I was like, oh my God, okay. It kind of scared me a little bit. I was like, oh, okay. Because at first I was like, okay, this probably was a little bit too much. But no, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was what the city needed. So thank you for letting me share that. A lot of people don't get that inside of it. And so sometimes I like to share that.
I am so glad that you did. I remember that moment. And it's things like that. You know, we miss live music. And it just doesn't, like, you can play a record. You can do that. There's nothing like being in front of people and feeling that energy. And the crowd responded appropriately because, girl, it was just absolute pure fire. It was so moving. And when you have this Latrice experience, mm-hmm. it truly is an experience. Yeah. So I hope that everyone listening gets a chance to see you perform live.
Thank you.
We're so grateful for you spending your time with us today.
Thank you.
And coming into the studio. And, of course, you know, we just can't wait to see what you do next and are such huge supporters of what you do. So thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you so much. Have a good day, y'all.